I got a couple pictures I want to show you. Okay. Let's go to the next one. We'll come back to this. Okay, this is what they call a Hubble photograph. And there's tons of them. And they're beautiful. And we can look at it and say, wow, look what God did. But go back to the first one. This, there's two photos there. These are Hubble photographs. The one on this side, they call that an original raw photograph. But not even that is an original raw photograph. That's already been through all kinds of changes since Hubble took the picture. A couple years ago, I looked all this up, and I was able to find more information than I was able to find today. I looked this stuff up today. They don't want you to see these pictures. And I'm going to explain why. So they call this raw, and that picture there, they get it from taking 25 pictures, each for 1,000 seconds. And then they say that they look at the 25 pictures, and things are different from this picture to this picture because there's stuff moving around that don't belong there. So they eliminate anything that was in this picture that's not in this picture. They eliminate it, and they eliminate it, and they eliminate it, and they eliminate it. And they get this. Then they put some more filters on it, and they filter some other things, and they get this. That's a Hubble photograph. Now put that other picture up, please. This, if you go online and type in Hubble photographs, this is what you're going to get. And there's lots of them, and they're all beautiful and magnificent like that. But they're not Hubble photographs. They're artists' renditions. They've added all the color. They've added all the cloud-looking stuff. They add all this stuff. And all the stuff they take with the Hubble, that's what they do. That's what they do. And so when I was researching this stuff today, I come across this little video. Actually, it was yesterday. And in the little video, the guy's explaining how they do this. Only he's giving you he's not really explaining it. He's telling you a little bit about it. And then he says, while he's explaining it, this is how helps us discover how stars are created. This is a scientist. This is how they discover how stars are created, with these pictures that they put together. Helps them discover how stars are created. Helps them discover black holes that eat stars by the millions and billions, they say, are just sucking in stars and sucking in stars. Turn that off, turn the lights back on. I know how stars were created. God created them, every single one of them. They're not discovering how stars are created because they're not created anymore. God created them all at one time. And this is just a bunch of crap. This is to eliminate God. And they make some beautiful pictures. And there's a guy named Louis Giglio. He does a whole thing on these beautiful pictures about, look at what God made. Only God didn't make it. Men made that. Men made that. So why am I showing you this stuff? This isn't a science class. But God is omniscient, omniscience. God created science. God is science. There's nothing that exists that he didn't bring into existence. So when he says, I call them all by name and not one is missing, can you doubt that? Well, this is deception. And God says in his word over and over, and been speaking to me the past couple weeks about, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And I believe he wants me to tell you, don't be deceived. Now, how do you avoid being deceived? You gotta read his word. You gotta pray, and you gotta read his word. If you don't, you're gonna be deceived. The deception is getting heavier and heavier every day, and a huge deception is coming. And if you're not in his word, if you're not praying and reading his word every day, if you're depending on, oh man, I go to church twice a week I go to church, you're going to be deceived if you don't read God's word. You know, sometimes when I'm reading God's word, I'll look at Chuck Smith's. His stuff is all written down that you could read on Blue Letter Bible, because sometimes I'll be reading something and I'll be like, I read it over and over and it's like, I don't know what the heck that means. And I tell you, 95% of the time when I go to Chuck Smith's teaching, when I'm stuck like that with something I don't know what it means, he doesn't say anything about it. He just skips right over it. Maybe he don't know what it means either. I don't know. He certainly didn't say anything. But more to the point, Chuck Smith, as wonderful of a man as he was, he's a man. And he's subject to error. Men make errors. Pastor Ryan is subject to error. I am subject to error. And so I would never read somebody else's teaching and then come here and bring you what I read from them. Because now we're going to take whatever error that person made and I'm going to add my error to it. Now it's twice as erred, at least. Maybe he got his from somebody else. No telling how many times the error is compounded. The only way to avoid that is to read the word yourself. Just make your own errors. Just seek God in his word. And when you do, he reveals things to you. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. So today, our main point is don't be deceived. But we're going to go in 2 Peter chapter 1 is going to be the scripture for today. And we're going to do something a little different. But first, let me wait on y'all to find 2 Peter chapter 1. Want to use my glasses? Father, I ask you to keep my errors to a minimum. I ask you to lead me and guide me and open all of our ears and all of our eyes and all of our hearts to receive your word. And I pray, God, that you'll reveal things to each of us, just exactly what you want to reveal to us. God, as I do what I think you want me to do, I pray that you'll make it prosperous. You'll make it good. You'll make it accomplish what you want it to accomplish. Thank you, God, for giving us your word. Amen. Okay, Second Peter chapter 1 is really a heavy chapter. The whole, all of Peter's stuff is really heavy. All of the Bible is really heavy. I mean, so I'm going to read, I think, the first 12 verses. And I want you to just pay attention. Because I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to teach you tonight. I'm not going to read these verses and tell you what it means. I want you to listen intently, listen to God's word and see what you think it means. And if after we read it, you're like, geez, I don't know what that means, then read it again tomorrow and again the next day and again the next day and again the next day until God reveals something to you about it. That's how I read the word all the time. Pastor Ryan taught me this. You read the same chapter every day for at least a week. Because if you, and that's what I do. And the first day I read it, it's like, all I did was read it. I didn't, okay. It was like nothing there. And then the next day I read it again and, oh, something, I start to see something. And then the next day, oh, I see a little bit more. And each day more is revealed to me. And I start to learn things. So that's what I suggest for you. So now I'm going to read this. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, when I read this on my own, I would say, bondservant? What the heck is a bondservant? And I would look it up. I'd go to the, I have another app that I go to, and it's got all the Greek and all that, and I look it up and see what it meant then, and then if that doesn't clear things up for me, then I have an 1828 dictionary. I look up the word bondservant in that dictionary and see what that says, and that was Noah Webster, and he was a Christian, and there's all kinds of verses in the 1828 Bible, or I mean dictionary. So that's how you dig. You got to dig. I mean, do you want to know what God's saying? You got to dig. If you want it, you got to dig. You know, his apostles, many times when he would teach the multitudes, afterward they would go to him in private and say, what did you mean when you said? And he would explain it to them. Because they weren't getting it either. But they went and dug. They said, I want to know what that meant, what you said. Do you want to know what he means when he says things? Do you want to know what's in his word? You got to read it. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So I am going to tell you that Peter's not talking to everybody here. He tells you who he's talking to. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you obtained like precious faith? If you tell me, yeah, I have, and I ask you, do you read his word every day? And you say, no. I say, maybe you haven't. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. All this stuff is in his word that Peter's talking about. It's all in his word. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, given all diligence, all diligence. Diligence. Read the word every day. That's diligence. But the only way you're going to do that, the only way you're going to have diligence and want to read the word is if you want to. If you don't want to, you're not going to. And if you've received this, what do you call it again? Precious faith. Precious faith. I don't know how you could have precious faith and not want to read God's word. It's God's word. The creator of the universe, the creator of all those stars, the creator of you and me and everything. This is his word. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours, you know, Peter, he's saying if here, because he knows a lot of people, it ain't there. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Forgotten. That's why I'm here to remind you, in case you've forgotten. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. I'm not going to say anything about that, but I am going to read it again. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to stop there. Oh, wait a minute. I am going to read verse 12. I forgot. Peter says, for this reason, all that he just said, for that reason, for all the things that he just said, for that reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So, I'm not telling any of you anything you don't know already. I'm just reminding you. Peter wrote it down because God told him to. Word for word, every jot and tittle Peter wrote exactly came from God. Now, I don't know how that worked, how men's personalities entered into these writings, and at the same time, it was God who really wrote it, every jot and tittle. I mean, Chuck Missler does this thing on words, these hidden things in the Bible, how each word, and you count so many here, and you count so many there, and you count, and you come up with these things that are like mind-boggling. And you know that Peter didn't do that. God did that. And in order for God to do that, it had to be written precisely the way God fed it to him, or those things wouldn't be in there. Now, that is cool. I like listening to Chuck Missler and learning those things and being like wowed by it. It's really cool. But I don't need that. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's all I need. Because I believe God's word. Everything that it says, I believe it. And 2 Timothy says it's all God-breathed. So I believe it. He used Peter here, but these aren't Peter's words. These are God's words. don't have to be in red letters. It's all God's words. So now, that Peter and myself and God are reminding you of these things. Let's see, 8:14. What time am I supposed to get done? Okay. I'm going to do here, kind of, what I do every morning. I'm going to give you an example of what you should do if you're not already doing it. I have no idea who's doing what. I get up around 5 o'clock. I got to leave the house at 7:30, so I get up at 5 o'clock. Sometimes earlier against my will, and sometimes a little later when I need to catch up. But I normally get up at 5 o'clock. I go out in the kitchen, and I hit the button on the coffee pot. And then I go in the bathroom. Got to go to the bathroom when you first get up, right? So I go in the bathroom, and I have on my telephone an app that's called the ICR. It's a devotion. Ryan turned me onto it years ago. It's really, really good devotion. It's Henry Morris and his son. He's the one who wrote those books about a lot of good books. And so while I'm sitting on the toilet, I read that. Then I come out of the bathroom and I get my coffee and I go sit in my chair and I do this. I close my eyes. I say, Our Father. God, you're not just my Father. You're the Father of people in China and people in Russia and people in Africa and the people at church and my family and people in this neighborhood. That's why Jesus said, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Oh God, you're in heaven, that place that we all want to go, and we don't even know what it's like. But you tell us it's awesome, and we want to go there, and you're there. Holy is your name, the name above every other name, the name to which every knee shall bow. Holy, holy, holy. God, you're perfect. You're perfect. God, you're almighty. You're omnipotent. You got so much power, God, that can't even comprehend your power. It's just limitless. And you're omniscient. You know everything. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know when my last day is. You're awesome, God. There's no one like you. No one like you. You're awesome. You're the Prince of Peace. You're Everlasting Father. You're the Creator. You made everything. You made all that we can see, and all that we can't see. All those stars that are out of our sight and the planets that are around them and the things that are on those planets, God, we can't see them, and you made them all. And everything on this earth that we can see and the things that we can't see, God, I'm sure there's way more on this earth that we haven't seen than we have. And you made it all. You made everything that's visible and everything that's invisible. Everything that's invisible. And not only did you make all that, God, but you sustain it. You keep it all going. You keep it all in existence. I think about atoms and how they're moving things, and this chair that I'm sitting in, it's made out of a bunch of atoms, and yet I can sit in it. And you, that's you, God. Everything is you. It would be nothing if it weren't for you. Nothing. You're Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. You provide everything we need, God. You provide Jesus of Nazareth. God, I think about how Mary had her Immaculate Conception, how you placed your seed in her without a man. And Jesus, he spent 9 months in there. 9 months. And I know, God, that it wasn't like when I was in the womb. Jesus being in the womb is like a totally different thing. And he stayed there for 9 months. And then he came out and had to depend on people to take care of him and change his diaper and feed him and do all that stuff. And there's not much in your word about those years, God. I wonder what it was like for Mary being the mother of Jesus, and then his brothers and sisters living with Jesus for all those years. He came into the world at a time, I thank God that I live in luxury. When I go to bed at night, I get to take a warm shower. There were no showers when you were, I don't know what you did. I don't know how that worked way back then. And then I get into a soft bed with a soft pillow and the air conditioning's running. I live in luxury, God, because you've blessed me with that. Forgive me, God, for not being more thankful for this luxury that you provided for me. Jesus, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, you know, I watched that video with Chuck Missler, and he said when we pray that, when we pray, your kingdom come, we don't even know what we're praying. And when he first said that, I thought, yes, I do. And then I thought about it and realized, no, I don't. I don't know what that means, God. Your kingdom come. I know it's good. I know you're worthy of being the king. But your kingdom come? I don't know what that's going to be like. And I wish your will would be done in my life. I wish I would be more or better at doing your will. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness, and for spending 9 months in your mother's womb and living as a carpenter, knowing what you were headed for. Something so horrible that when it got down close to it, you were sweating blood just thinking about it. Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power. God, there it is again, your power. And yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory, now and forever. Amen. Then, when I finish that, that's when I start praying for people. I start with my wife always, then my daughter and her family, and my grandsons, and my brothers and their families, and my wife's sisters and their families, and then all the families in here. Pray for almost all of you every day. I forget some people sometimes, you know. And some days I get short of time because that was kind of quick, that prayer I just prayed. Normally I get lost in that. I get lost in it. And it just goes on and on because what's happening, I realize, is I'm reminding myself of who God is. Every day, I got to go through it. I got to remember, he's the creator. He's the savior. He's awesome. He's good. He's holy. He's God. I got to remind myself of that every day. And you got to too. If you're not, you're going to be deceived. Or maybe you're already deceived. The devil prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. If you're not spending time with the Lord, I mean, I do this every day. I spend all that time in prayer, and then I get into the Word, and I read the Word every day. And still, when I go back out there, I'm done, and I got to get my Jeep and go to work, stuff happens. I don't know how you can survive if you don't do that. I don't know how you can survive. It's insane. I can think back of before I accepted Jesus into my heart. It was a totally different life. There was no word. There was no. I did pray back then. I don't even know why I did this. I used to, on my way to work, I would say that prayer. Only it would be a memorized prayer that I could say it in like 30 seconds. I could say the whole prayer. And be like, I'm good, man. I prayed today. And I go to work. And how did I survive? I didn't. I was on a downhill slope, going down, 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 down. And the end of that down is in hell. You know, that's where I was headed. That's where I was going for sure. There's no doubt about it. That's where I was headed. And I was paving the way myself. And so now I know I need God's word. I need it. I need to spend time with my Creator every day. It's the best part of every day. Without a doubt, nothing else comes close. Nothing. If I was given the choice, give up that or give up going to church, well, I got to tell you how much I love being here. And you must know it because I'm always here. I'm always here. But I'd have to give up church. I couldn't give up my time with the Lord every morning. I could not give that up. Could not. I'd be deceived. I'd be deceiving myself, thinking I don't need it or I ain't got time for it or whatever thing I could think of. I don't know. I mean, I read it because I need it and because I like it. I love it. There's nothing like it. Nothing. So I'm not gonna read what I normally read. I'm gonna go back to Peter here. I'm gonna start at the beginning again. And I'm just gonna read it to you. Pay attention. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I saw in that video that I watched, Pastor Ryan told you all about bondservants on Sunday. And he said, this word isn't that. Well, so this one isn't either. This one means slave. Because I looked it up. I had to look it up after he said that. I thought every time it said bondservant was the same thing. And so you got to be careful of that, you know. Our English language is tiny compared to the old language, and so they use the same words, English words, for different words. So if you don't look it up, you miss what's being said. I don't want to miss anything. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Godliness. I'm pretty sure Pastor Ryan taught you about godliness on Sunday too. I think I saw that in that video, right? Didn't he talk about godliness and what it means? And that it's real godliness. It's a way of life. It's the way you behave. It's who you are. Godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Knowledge of him. Every day when I get done praying that prayer, I left this part out. It's kind of hard to pray the way I normally do, standing here. It's not the same as being in my chair at home in the morning. But every day I ask God, when I'm done that prayer, I ask him for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. I ask him for that every day. I'm begging for that. I cry out for it. I need more knowledge. I need more wisdom. And God's the one that has it. He's the one that gives it. And it's in his word. I read it every day, but I need help with it. I can't just do this on my own. It's not good enough to just read it. You gotta have some Holy Spirit help. Who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. If you don't spend time with the Lord every day, There's no way you can be a partaker of the divine nature. No way. I spend a lot of time in prayer and a word every day, and I can just barely be a partaker of that. Just barely. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust, we're surrounded by lust. All kinds. The lust of the eyes. It's a horrible thing, lust. This says that we've escaped it through these things that you find in his word and in prayer. Without them, you know what? You don't escape it. You're a slave to it. A slave to lust. Instead of a slave to God, like Peter says he is, you're a slave to lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now how can you add all that stuff? That's a progression. A progression. You have to grow. It's talking about growing by reading the word. You grow by reading the word. I would venture to say, unless you're a brand new Christian, is you can't grow by coming to church only. If you don't spend time in prayer and the word, you are not going to grow. A new Christian will, because they don't know anything. And everything, I remember when I was new, it was like, what? And then there was the conviction. I'd be sitting in my seat and the pastor would be teaching and I'd be squirming in my seat. Oh man, that's me. I do those dumb things. But after a while, you got to start feeding yourself or you're not going to grow. My mommy's not around to give me the bottle anymore. I have to eat on my own. And all these things we've got to work on. I haven't attained all these things. But I'm working on them. I'm working on them. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you. That word so, I looked this up a long time ago, and it's one of them things that stuck with me. So is like, it should say, in this way. The word so means in this way. So let me read it like that. For in this way, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In what way? Oh, all the stuff we just read, in that way. Not some way that you thought up or dreamed up. Not by worshiping your false god that you created. Oh, my God wouldn't do that. My God doesn't do this. My God doesn't do that. Yeah, your God. Your God is a false God. There's only one true God, and he's in this word. So if you want to know the real God, you got to read his word. Otherwise, you'd be worshiping a false God, one that you make that suits you. I mean, because you're not going to create one that you don't like. You're going to create one that you like. One that does things that make you happy. Right? Why would I create one that I don't like? It's best to not create one at all. Dig into the word and worship the one and only true God. And in that way, For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. These things are important. God told Peter to remind us. He told me to remind us. They're important. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. God had him write it all down because Peter was only going to be around for a little while to remind us, and then we'd still have his word to remind us. But it don't remind us if we don't read it. It doesn't do us any good if we don't read it. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Who is God's beloved Son? Yeah, you all know it's Jesus. Yeah, but who's Jesus? Jesus. Everybody knows who Jesus is. He's the one that died on the cross. Jesus. That's why we have a cross in here. Everybody knows who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? If you're not reading his word, you don't know who he is. You just don't know. All you know is what some people are telling you. That's a scary position, to base your faith on what somebody's telling you. You know what they're telling people in college these days? Crazy stuff. And they believe it. They believe it. Churches. Pastor Ryan talks about bad churches all the time. He always brings that up. There's men in big, huge churches teaching about a false God. They're teaching about Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. They're teaching a Jesus that you like.
The feel-good Jesus.
If you want to know Jesus, if you want to know him, you got to read his word. He is the word. And he's revealed in his word. And that's how you get to know him, by reading his word. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Let me read that one again. That's one verse, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word. That's the word of God. We have it. It's available. We have it. Confirmed, which you do well to heed. You can't heed it if you don't read it, because you don't even know what it says. You don't know what to heed. As a light that shines in a dark place. I'm telling you, we live in a dark place. We live in a dark, dark place. And the more, it's crazy, the more light that you get from God, the darker it gets around you, because as your eyes get opened, you see the darkness. You see the light, and you see the darkness. And the darkness is, it's really dark. It's really dark. But they make it pretty. The darkness is pretty, just like that picture I showed you. It's pretty. but we didn't need God for this. This was a big bang, exploded, and you could see the gases there left from the explosion, and the purple and magenta and all these pretty colors and everything. It's pretty, but it's a deception, it's a lie. It's meant to make you believe there is no God. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You want the morning star to rise in your heart? You got to read the Word. You got to read the Word. You got to read the Word. You got to read it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's another reason why you got to read it. Because otherwise, you just want, do you want my interpretation? Do you want me to interpret the Word for you? No, you don't want me to interpret. You need to read it and ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and reveal it to you. No private interpretation. Get it straight from God. Get it straight from God. For prophecy never came by the will of man. Peter didn't write this of his own will. He didn't. It says it right here. He wrote it. He wrote it himself, that it didn't come from man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Precisely moved. Precisely. Um, 8:46. I can't, you know, I don't know. What time does Ryan normally get done on a Wednesday night? A lot later than this? Good, then I can do the next chapter too. That's what I was hoping to do. Chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. It's saying, deception. There's going to be false prophets. And they're here. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. False prophets are everywhere. They're on the TV. They're on the internet. They're in churches. They're everywhere. And they're denying the Lord. Without saying it. That guy that I told you I watched the video and he said we can discover how stars are created. He didn't say I deny Jesus. But he did say they're discovering how stars were created, are created. He's denying Jesus. No doubt about it. And I would say that he knows that. He knows that. Because he knows himself how phony this stuff is. That's why I'm telling you, you go on the internet and type in something like raw Hubble photographs. Nothing comes up. All them pretty pictures come up. You got to dig and you got to dig and you got to dig and you dig until you finally find one of them black and white things and a little bit said about it. And then there's a blog, and everybody's saying, these kind of pictures are far and few between, can't find, you know. And I'm telling you, you go on site after site after site after site that say they have raw pictures, and they all look like the pretty one. Well, that's just an out-and-out lie. Those aren't raw pictures. They're artists' renditions. And then they give you this long explanation about how they have this filter, and they have that filter, and they add this, and they add that, and this, and that, and that. And they add all this stuff and finally come up with that picture. But that's what it's really like, because we're scientists. Just believe us. Not God's creation. Let's see, where was I? And many will follow their destructive ways. Many will follow their destructive ways because they're deceived. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For covetousness. Guys like, what's that guy's name? Has that big, huge, giant church.
Joel Osteen.
He's got jets and millions of dollars. I read an article that his church received, I think, I want to say the number was $4 million because of COVID relief. His church got $4 million of our tax dollars. Yeah. Tell me he's not, by covetousness, I mean, he's got more than any man should have, and he still wants more. And he stands up there, and he smiles, and he tells you all this nice, sweet stuff about the God that he created, so that he can help you create the same God and keep giving him money. And his church has like 50,000 more, even. All those people are deceived. It's mind-boggling. And there's tons of churches like that where they, Pastor Ryan talked about, and I've read it myself, about the biggest, wealthiest churches are in Africa, where the people are the poorest, but yet they come in there and they give and they give and they give, and these pastors just raping these poor people. And they're the wealthiest pastors in the world. It's sad. They're deceived. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. We talked a little bit about godliness. Well, this is ungodly. Ungodly. So much for that pastor that says there's no God. Or no hell, I mean. Forget which one that is. There ain't no hell because his God would never send anybody to hell. His false God. His false God. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. It says here, Lot. If you read about Lot, there's Lot did some crazy stuff. But God says that he was righteous and that he was vexed. And I did look this up. I looked at what Chuck Smith said about Lot. And he talked about being vexed. And he asked the question, are you vexed? Is all the stuff that's going on around us, are you vexed by it? Does it bother you? The things, the evil things that are going on all around us, does it bother you? Or it's just like, it's how it is today. It's how it is today. My brother, he's got three kids. They're all in their 20s. And they're all living with someone, not married, all of them. It's because that's what everybody does today. People don't get married anymore. They just move in. I remember when I was like a teenager, it was going on then, but it was rare and secret and quiet and nobody knew about it or heard about it. Now it's just like, that's normal, man. If you think there's something wrong with that, there's something wrong with you. Well, that kind of stuff should vex you. It should bother you that that stuff is going on all around you. Now, you know, like I said, it's my brother's kids, and I love them. And I don't go say, oh, you sinner, I don't do anything of the sort, you know. But I pray for them every single day, and I send them verses, all his kids and him, I send verses every day, and pray that their eyes will be opened. And I'm vexed by it. It bothers me. I can't tell you how much it bothers me. I can't say, well, I don't care. Well, I don't care. No, I care. It bothers me. I know what they're doing is not good for them. And it vexes me. If you're not vexed, you should be. Righteous Lot was vexed. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. I've been thinking about this lately, and there's a lot of things going on with dignitaries in our world today. And I've been saying some things that I probably shouldn't be saying. It says here that angels, who are way more powerful than us, they wouldn't dare do that. They wouldn't dare. Do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Carouse in the daytime. They don't even have to hide it no more. They can just do it in broad daylight. All the evil stuff that they do. It used to be all the evil stuff took place at night in the dark where you can hide, you know. Now it's right in broad daylight. Right in broad daylight. Just like when those angels went into Sodom and the people saw them. And they were good looking men, I guess. And they wanted to have sex with them right away. In broad daylight. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and our cursed children. I've been noticing lately, I have a business and I deal with a lot of wealthy people. And it seems like lately, people have been telling me about pornography. They talk about their pornography like people don't get married and live together. It's like that's the normal thing. Everybody watches pornography. We got it on our telephones. Everywhere we go, we carry our pornography with us. And I'll have these men say things to me. They're not trying to entice me into it or anything. They just, in passing, they mentioned their pornography. Used to be people that watched pornography were embarrassed that they did. Didn't want anybody to know they were watching pornography. Now it's like, yeah, don't you watch it? Everybody watches pornography, right? They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. He was a prophet. Balaam was a prophet. He was able to prophesy. God gave him that gift. And he abused it. And he used it for money. He used the gift God gave him to make money. And a dumb donkey had to reprimand him. just think you're Balaam, and you're doing this evil foolishness, and a donkey talks to you. Corrects you. I think I would pass out or faint or something, A donkey just talked to me. But Balaam, he thought nothing of it. He just kept right on doing his crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. It's kind of like stealing the election. Everybody knows about it. They have all this tons and tons and tons and tons of proof. But everybody just says, no, that didn't happen. Everybody knows it happened. No, didn't happen. No proof. So if a dumb donkey went to court and said, they wouldn't believe him either. A dumb donkey. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, I wonder if they know this, these people who are living the wrong way, like it says here. They gave up the right way for the wrong way. I wonder if they know that there's blackness of darkness reserved for them forever. It seems like if they knew that, they would turn from their wicked ways. Right? Seems like it. And I would venture to say that some will turn like I did. I was walking in evil, wicked ways. And the day came when I turned from that. My eyes were opened by God. It wasn't that I decided one day I said, okay, I had enough of being a bad guy. Now I'm going to be a good guy. It didn't happen like that. Just one day the Lord, he hit me on the head. There was no lump or anything. He didn't bruise me. But he hit me on the head with his truth. And I was like, wow, all of a sudden, I recognized the truth for truth. God did that. He did that. And so there's a lot more people that he's going to do that with. But there's also a lot that are going to go to hell. And I think it says that If we warn them, then their blood's on their own hands. But if we don't bother to warn them, then maybe their blood's on our hands. Not maybe. It doesn't say maybe, does it? It says their blood's on our hands. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh. That's that guy again, Joel. He speaks great swelling words of emptiness. Says pretty nice things that people like to hear, but his words are empty. There's nothing in them. They're empty. They allure through lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. That's a sad thing. Some people have escaped from error, then get pulled back into it by these people who speak great swelling empty words. While he promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. I'm not going to tell you what that means either. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb: a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. So, I would venture to say that if I quit what I do in the morning, if I quit doing it, if I got lazy, maybe I think I'm holy enough, I don't need to do this anymore, or just I'm tired of that, I've done enough of it, I think I would probably return to my vomit. That's what would happen to me. If I quit getting up early in the morning, praying and reading the word, I would end up returning to my vomit. It's almost a sure thing. It's almost a sure thing. Father, I thank you that you had holy men write down your words. And then I thank you that you had men invent printing presses and print more Bibles than any other book ever. No other book comes close to how many Bibles have been printed. Millions and billions, I guess, of Bibles have been printed. They're everywhere. You can't go anywhere and not see a Bible. Which leaves us, God, with no excuse. No excuse to not read your word. God, I pray that you would light a fire in us, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, and that we would be diligent to seek you in it. And we know, God, that your word says that if we knock, seek, and ask, that's all we got to do. We got to knock, seek, and ask. So I'm knocking and seeking and asking right now, God. I'm asking you to light a fire in whoever doesn't already have one. And stoke it up. And we'll continue to remind them.